Yeah. That is our magical intro. This is the very first episode of Outwit, Outplay, Outcast. We don't have an iTunes feed yet. We don't have a Patreon yet. But we do have a website URL, outwitoutplayoutcast.com. And if you're listening to this, then you already know that because there's absolutely no other way to find this right now. Maybe Stitcher? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that's the website. Go there for every update, every episode, everything you possibly need. Contact us. And also all the rules for Fantasy Survivor that we're going to be doing, which is going to be amazing, tons of fun. But since there's not been a single episode of Survivor yet, we're just going to kind of bullshit about Survivor a little bit and ask each other questions so that we can get to know each other. Because Nick and Brian, have you guys ever met?
I don't know. Probably not.
Oh, yeah, we should do that. My name is Andy. I host another podcast. It's called Welcome to Comics. Every week we read a classic comic book and talk about it. And classic is very vaguely in air quotes because we have read things like Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, which is basically porn. But actually really fun.
And you read Ecstatics.
Yes, yes. And Nick, what do you do? Anything?
Actually, this is pretty much the only thing online that I do. I help out with some other podcasts, like behind-the-scenes type stuff, coming up with trivia. But that's about it.
Okay. Hey, if people like you after the show, where can they like follow you somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I joined Twitter after only like 20, 30 years of ignoring it. You can follow me. My handle, as they call it, is @WeHaveSnacks. For various undefined reasons.
I like that Twitter has been around for 30 years. Since 1984.
Yeah.
Brian, do you do anything?
No. No. I'm
You're my guild leader. That counts.
Yeah. I lead the guild. Two of them, in fact.
That's right. Horde and Alliance.
Yeah, anyway, so
let's get into this thing. I'm just going to ask you guys, who's your favorite survivor of all time?
You want to go first?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll go first. Coach. Sure. I love Coach.
That guy was pretty good. I like that guy. He was fun.
Because Coach, the first time he came on, Coach, you were like, you're crazy and kind of stupid and weird and a huge bombastic liar. Really? Those tribemen wanted to eat your ass? What the fuck is wrong with you? Except then he had like, so like, you think he's just crazy and he's annoying for a while. And then he has this like amazing breakthrough moment of like, wait.
I am a douchebag.
No, not just I am a douchebag, but they're like, wait, is everybody laughing at me? Like, like that moment of enlightenment / soul-crushing shame. And it was amazing to watch that on screen and then have him come back and still do all of the batshit crazy things and take himself seriously, but at the same time know that he's batshit crazy because he had that epiphany. Oh my god, he's just so much fun to watch every single time he's on the screen.
He's great.
So plus, I love
Dragon Slayer.
Yes, yeah, Dragon Slayer, the best. Well,
that, he and what was it? Courtney, the actually who I'll tell you about because she's my favorite. He and Courtney ended up forming like a rock band together called Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, and the hit guy. What was his name?
JT.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god! So, anybody else listening? Like, I have watched a lot of Survivor. I remember nobody's names. I remember Coach and James, the graveyard digger.
James, sweetheart.
That's it.
My personal favorite, I already mentioned, was Courtney, and the reason is because she's the only person I've ever really actually identified with. Because if you ever see me, I've gained a little bit of weight, but I'm still grossly underweight. And so when she went in, she was like 110 pounds. And, like, by the time she was done, she was, like, 80 pounds soaking wet. And I remember, like, listening to these people on like, Entertainment Hollywood or one of those bullshit shows complaining about, she's setting a bad example for girls.
Because hella body shaming her.
Yeah, totally. And then her response was just like, dude, I don't care. I was on Survivor. Screw you. She just did not give any shits about anything. So I always had a special place in my heart for her. But also because the guy with the French name, the poker player, Jean... I want to call him Ralphio, but I know that's from Parks and Rec. Whatever. Anyway, Jean Ralphio was just shaming her and bitching at her the entire time. And then she beats him at an immunity challenge, and he ended up voting for her. She got like second place. I mean, that was about it. But I mean, that was the only vote she got practically. But it was great.
That was awesome.
Like, oh, you were better than me. I'm sorry.
But that's okay. We can talk about that later too. Brian, who's your favorite?
Okay, speaking of batshit crazy and not remembering people's names, what was the guy's name that made that did Spies R Us or whatever?
Oh, God, I remember him, but...
Oh, what the fuck was his name? Oh, you're right. Oh, God. Right,
what was his name?
Spies R Us.
And he, like, he gave everybody their own title and, like, their own kind of assignments. And
the older black guy. Fuck, what was his name?
Yeah, the guy, he was the FBI agent.
Yeah, air quotes, yeah. FBI
or agent. Or so he said. I can't remember his name. Yeah, that guy was...
He was good, yeah.
He was...
He walked up... He walk around in his white briefs with a little red band.
Completely oblivious to the fact that he was grossing everyone else out. Yeah. Isn't it great that all three of us picked our favorite people are like the ones that nobody ever wanted to deal with?
Because they're fun to watch. Like, that's the thing with Survivor. Like, I think I would be good at the game, but I would drive myself insane being there. You know, because there's these people that are fun to watch, and you like them watching them, but you would never want to spend 5 minutes alone in the room with them, which is basically the entire premise of the show. Well, okay, but my runner-up was Russell. And I was... He's a terrible, terrible human being.
You know, the thing about Russell, for me, is... I love the fact that he's been on as many times as he has, and he's never figured out that he's never going to win because he just treats everyone terribly.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean...
And the first time, it's not even that. The first time he did it, it's not even that he played, that he treated everybody terribly. He played brilliantly. And then, at the end, when he thought he was a lock, then he treated everybody really, really bad. It's like, you just cannot do that. You know?
Well, that was the greatest thing about that season. He didn't win, or he didn't... Nobody voted for him. They voted against him. So I can't... It was the woman. I can't remember her name. She was the one who won just because it was... There was some dude who gave such an impassioned plea about, like... he would say something like, everyone says you have to cheat and lie and steal, but why? Why? Why can't we just vote for the nice woman? Why can't we just give her $1 million? And that was basically the moment I was like, oh, you're not going to get anything. Oh, that's great. That's what you get for burning a dude's socks, just to mentally control him. Like, I remember watching that, just thinking, this guy is fucking insane.
Didn't he go into the merge with his tribe, like, only having 3 people, and the other tribe having, like, 7 or something insane like that? And he ended up... His 3 ended up taking out all of them. Like, that should be impossible.
Yeah.
How do you do that to people? Like,
well, but here's the thing. So he's a brilliant player. He's just an awful, unlikable person.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the thing. That's how you win, is you want, people want to actually vote for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The flip side of him is JT, who is just as manipulative, but hides it under good old Southern charm.
And just like, oh, shucks, man.
Oh, shucks.
Sorry, I had no idea who was going to vote you out
like that. It's like, yeah, you do everything, and you told him to do it, you fucking dick. Oh, shucks.
Oh, you got me. I'm so sorry, man. Oh, man.
Like, you're just as much of a tool.
Oh, that guy's great. If I had to pick a second one, I still love Yao Man.
Poor fucking guy.
He was just the nicest person in the world. And then, so what was it? Someone peeked into his bag to see if he had the hidden immunity idol. And, you know, he did, obviously, whatever. And he just had this sort of, oh, puppy dog, why would you do that? Like, so he turned it around from everyone was like, oh my god, he has this idol, we're all screwed, to, oh, how could you violate poor Yao Man? He's like, yeah, how could you? It was so great watching him he didn't even really manipulate anyone. Plus, he did the stereotypical Asian dad thing. His daughter wrote him a letter, and instead of getting all emotional, he's like, she got a B+? Oh, man. Oh, I need to get back home. I was like, dude, I love you. You are just so great.
All right, if we're going with number 2s, then I'm going to have to pick Rudy from the first season.
Yeah.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Man, old ass Marine is all rude as hell and everything, and he makes best friends with the gay guy.
Yeah, and you know, that actually brings me to one of the things that I miss about those early seasons that they don't really do anymore, is they used to spend a lot of time just filming, you know, interactions at camp. And it would be like, half an hour of interaction at camp, 15 minutes of challenge. And, like, it was great. You actually just see them kind of like, hey, well, let's go fishing. All right, why not? And they would just talk about, like, yeah, I got nipple rings and things like that. It's like, okay, this is stuff that should be talked about. You don't get any of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all just immunity challenge, bam, 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 bam. Immunity reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when there's not enough immunity and reward, then they have Redemption Island to have another another challenge. Yeah.
And that was, like, so you don't really get that arc anymore. Like, the one of the things that made that first season so compelling was, hey, look, you've got this old, stuck in his ways, actually very nice guy, but very stuck in his ways, very sheltered. I don't want to call him ignorant, because he's a SEAL. He's a smart guy. Yeah. But you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden he has to work together with this liberal, gay, northeastern Yankee, and they become, like, best friends. So he has to, you know, he has to confront every stereotype, everything he's ever learned, and realize, oh, I guess that is kind of bullshit. But you don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Rudy moments was near the end of the season. They were doing an immunity challenge where they had to remember shit that happened, like, earlier. And they had to go up to all the, like, stations and, like, read the question and answer it. Every single one who's walked up went, I don't know.
I don't care.
Ah, fuck it.
Basically, yeah. I remember that one, too, because they had the little cameras in front of them, and he would just put it right up to himself and go, like, I don't know the answer, and just walk on. He just did not care.
Who do you guys think was the smartest survivor?
Smartest in terms of gameplay, or just, like, I'm a genius kind of smarts?
Smartest in terms of I'm a genius and converts it into good gameplay, I want to say. Like, that's a good way to phrase it.
Oh, Yule. That's his name. Yule. The one from San Mateo, right up the street here. Cook Islands. That guy was smart. Because that was where another one of those instances, they went to the merge. It was just the four of them versus, I think it was six on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And he managed, like, all right, I'm just going to keep us together. And, yeah, he strategized real well. Smart guy. Fun guy. Reasonably sure he actually ended up being one of the sexiest men of the year as well. So... Hey, that's important.
It is. That's very important. That'll come up later.
Oh, it will.
I kind of want to say Parvati Shallow, because of her amazing, I'm going to give immunity to the two people next to me and leave myself wide open because I know none of you idiots voted for me thinking I was just going to double down on immunity. Like, that was awesome.
I have to take an issue with that. Parvati is probably the most, and when we start talking about the current crop, I'll probably mention this again, most overrated, and I cannot understand why people are so infatuated with her.
It just hot. Just that one move.
But that's the thing, it's like, well, no, okay.
That move was sheer genius, and it completely changed the entire complexion of the way that season was going.
A nice bit of showmanship. But I don't care. I don't know. I have almost zero respect for the I'm just going to flirt my way up to the top kind of thing. And I really feel like the season she won,
what she did.
No, well, it's not even that. The only reason she won that season is because it was between her and Amanda. And Amanda is probably the, like, you wanted to know who the best players were, and, you know, we told you that, but Amanda's probably the worst, because she would consistently play her heart out and do really, really well and do great, and then get to the final thing and be like, I'm so sorry, I voted you guys out. Oh, it was just a game. I don't know, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people would be like, what? And then whoever she was going against, like Todd. Todd was like, yeah, I voted you guys out. I'm glad you're there, and I'm here, because you're going to give me $1 million. All right, let's talk about this. And she would just lose every time, because she is just awful.
No, I think the worst was definitely Tyson. The worst has to have been Tyson, basically voting herself up.
But that was hysterical.
Parvati was the one I would have done, but then I remembered the professor who made his own immunity necklaces. And that's game-changing. That was fucking game-changing. That was, I mean, people talk about Russell changing it a lot, how he, like, started just finding the immunity necklaces by, like, figuring, well, they put it somewhere near something recognizable so you can have clues. So I'm just going to go wandering the fuck around half of the goddamn island looking for it. And now, when you show up to the tribe, that's like what they do day one. Do the minimal amount of work and then just go scrounging around for the, like, they just go digging. They dig that whole friggin' island up wherever they go. So, like, there's that, but no, just make your own. And then everybody will think that you have it, and then you're the only one looking for it. Which is genius, like, two or three times over. I love that. That was amazing.
Was that Bob from Gabon, or was that a newer person? Because I remember Bob. I think it was Bob. Yeah, he would just make arts and crafts projects.
Yes, yeah, like it was Bob.
Crazy. Wear his buff as a bow tie, too.
Yes, that was Bob. Oh, yeah. He was definitely, I think he's the smartest, and he's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do something so we can get to know each other. All right? We're going to both have a chance to ask two questions. You can ask it of the other hosts, or you can ask it two questions to the same person, whatever you want to do. So I'm going to go first. My first question is to Brian. What's the best trip you've ever taken?
Okay, I'm going to have to say when I was in Hawaii, we were driving along some road, and there was just a little waterfall there. We were going, there's a bunch of people swimming in front of the waterfall, and people climbing up to the top and jumping in, and it was like about as much as like a shower coming down. And then apparently there were some flash floodings up in the mountains above that day, and just out of nowhere, it came down like 1,000 times more. And and I ended up getting stuck in the middle for like an hour, like stuck on some rocks that were sticking up because I couldn't go on either side because I get washed down. And we had to wait for the freaking fire department to come get us out.
Okay, that's an epic story, but that's the wrong answer. The right answer is the trip to Vegas we took together.
How dare you forget your own best vacation?
The night before, I'm packing in my apartment, and Brian is just there hanging out. And I'm like, hey, Brian, you want to go to Vegas tomorrow morning? Yeah, fuck it. Yes. Go home, pack, and come back to my apartment 4 hours later to get in the car and go to Vegas.
That's like straight up swingers.
That was your best trip ever, Brian. I don't care what your answer is.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Good. So long as you know I'm right. Nick, my question to you is...
I can see the question.
Male celebrity to whom you are the most sexually attracted.
All right, so...
Not the one that you think is the handsomest or that you think is the prettiest or whatever, but the one that actually you are sexually attracted to.
Well, that... Not actually sexually attracted to him, but also for a broad definition of celebrity, I would go with Henrik Lundqvist of the goaltender of the New York Rangers, who is probably one of the most handsome men alive.
And one of the best at what he does.
In his Swedish rock band. And So yeah, we're going to go with Lundqvist there.
All right, Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
All right. Nick, what are your questions?
All right, so I got the same question for both of you, and I shamelessly have ripped it off from the great John Hodgman, and so I'm just going to ask both of you if you had any, or I'm sorry, you wake up tomorrow, you got a superpower, but it's either flight or invisibility, which one have you got?
Brian?
Okay, I'd want to say invisibility because, you know, you could just get away with pretty much everything. But I am such a klutz that everyone would know I was there anyway. I'd be walking into stuff, knocking shit over. I think I'd rather be flying around.
So basically the only thing preventing you from your life of crime is the fact that you're a klutz.
That you're exactly. A clumsy, twitchy man. All right, okay. I have a follow-up.
Fair enough,
question.
There's no wrong answer.
Yep. I have a return question. Does the invisibility... and I know that there's a quote-unquote good answer and a bad answer to this question. If you, John Hodgman, I think, did a podcast episode somewhere on it. Go listen to it, find it. It's a really good episode. But my follow-up question about invisibility is it just me that's invisible? Like, do I have to be naked?
Yeah, anything you're wearing and anything in your hands when you go invisible will also be invisible. Okay. But if you pick something up, that's still going to be visible.
What about things that come out of me while I'm invisible? Like, if I take a shit, does the shit become visible?
I imagine that would become visible. Similarly, anything you drop would become visible, like, out of your hand, like a grenade.
Okay. Just...
Wow.
I'm just saying, because then, like, you know, like, part of, one of the biggest perks about being invisible is that people wouldn't know that you were there, right? So if, per se, I'm going to be the villain and pick invisibility and do villainous things like rob a bank, I don't want to also be leaving DNA evidence everywhere. I mean, if I leave, like, hair and skin cells there, you know, but they're invisible, then there's no reason for them to get picked up and checked. But why, if, like, hair and, like, flakes of skin come off of me, like things naturally do while you go through the day, and they become visible when they come off,
then we'll give it a cool down. So it'll become visible after a little while. Like, the invisibility will fade.
Okay, I'm going to go with invisibility, for all the reasons that you're thinking.
Really? Okay, so first off, I'll say this, there is no right or wrong answer. That was the whole point I listened to that episode, that's where I ripped it off from. It's This American Life, and you can look for it, just search John Hodgman, there's no E in that name. Yeah. There is no right or wrong answer, but also, how come everyone who goes for invisibility immediately starts stealing things? You never think, like, you know, I can just become a confidential informant for the cops.
No. I want to steal things, and I want to see attractive people naked.
Wow, okay.
Right? Why so, I pick invisibility?
I'm taking flight just because I'm actually really lazy and I don't like driving.
Oh, see, I love driving, and I actually like taking the bus.
Wow.
See, but it'd be nice to be invisible on the bus. That way I don't have to fucking worry about people, like, I don't know. It just, like, so many things would be better if I was invisible. Or if I just could turn invisible. Like, I'm just hanging out in my office playing Warcraft, and my boss comes in with work for me, I can just turn invisible and turn the monitor off. I'm like, oh, I guess Andy's at a meeting. See?
Wow. So you use your powers just to avoid responsibility, and the other one uses their powers for crime, and then I use mine to save gasoline. So there we go.
I think you are the better man of the three of us.
I'm going to go with that.
Brian, what are your questions?
All right, Nick. So first, who would win in a wrestling match? The totally badass archer, swordsman, bomb thrower Link, or the little blue wannabe Flash Sonic?
Okay, so I realize you're a Link fan now, but it's got to be Sonic, because think of it this way. It's just like, in real life, how would you fight the Flash? He could, like, with one punch, at 100 miles an hour, it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're just out like a light if your neck doesn't just snap and your head fly right off. So, no matter how good Link is, Sonic is just faster. Plus, he has rings.
Well, what if he does this little, like, spinny sword thing where he spins around really fast, Sonic runs into it, gets his head cut off?
No, because one of the rules of being super fast is that you also have super reaction. That's a required secondary power.
Isn't the question about a wrestling match? Why are you even using bows and arrows and bombs and swords? It's a wrestling match.
Okay, you've clearly never watched Chikara wrestling.
I'm imagining, like, Greco-Roman wrestling.
ECW, yeah. Paul Heyman booked this match with two fictional characters. I just thought there's something he would do.
All right, Brian, what's your other question?
All right, Andy, if you could legally kill one celebrity, who would it be, and why?
God, I don't know. I want to fundamentally say that do I have to kill somebody?
Yes.
I have to, I don't have a choice.
She's had a good life.
Who?
Madonna. She's had a good life.
It's time to put her out to pasture?
Well, there's just nothing more she can do, so she has to go.
Take her to the Tree of Life, to the Kabbalah.
Oh, God, celebrity I would want to kill. I honestly don't have a good answer.
It's a little Talmudic humor. All my, kinda, my Jewish friends
out. I would want to pick, who's the current Doctor Who?
Peter Capaldi.
No, people don't know him enough to like him. Maybe Matt Smith. Matt Smith is his name, right?
No,
it's the one everybody likes?
Matt Smith is the one that quit a little bit ago.
Who's the one that everybody likes the most, that I see on Tumblr all day, every day?
Probably Matt Smith.
Okay, Matt Smith is my answer.
Why? What did he ever do to you?
I have nothing against him, and I have nothing against Doctor Who. I have barely watched anything. I just want to see something else on Tumblr.
So go to something else on Tumblr.
That's too easy, Nick. That's
the internet,
too easy.
The internet is rather large, in case you aren't aware of this. It's large enough to allow a Survivor podcast after 30 seasons of Survivor.
That's true.
You can find something other than Matt Smith on Tumblr. You can find Vikings on Tumblr.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Oh, I need more Saints Row on my Tumblr. Shit.
There you go.
Shit. Okay. So that's a good enough get to know you phase. what do you guys think of the gimmick for this for season 30? The white collar, blue collar, no collar thing.
So here's the thing about these gimmicks. They always come up with these really good ideas for a gimmick, like the time the tribes were based on race, the time the tribes were based on older men, younger men, older women, younger women, all that kind of stuff. And then, like, they ditch them after 3 episodes. So, yeah. This is kind of a cool idea. Like, hey, let's have it, you know, white collar, blue collar, no collar. But it's not going to last very long, so whatever. And then also, have you looked at the jobs of some of the blue collar people?
Uh-uh.
Like some, okay, general contractor, cop, postal worker. Yeah, that's very solidly blue collar. But then, like, rodeo participant? It's like, where's, like, the chimney sweeps and newsboys? And I realize, you know, my version of blue collar seems to top out at 1920. But still, I mean, where are these things? Like, what's it? There's a guy in the no-collar tribe who crafts his own jewelry from scratch. If you ask me, that's more blue-collar than like, rodeo participants. Yeah, so,
I would say so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a cool gimmick, but I realize it's not going to last very long. It's going to last long enough for them to vote out a couple people and then, you know, whatever.
I'll need to see more of what the tribe actually looks like. Because my biggest problem with this, like, splitting them by gimmicks was, what's the one that, there's one where they split them up by age that was, like, the most exemplary of this, where it's a really neat idea, but after 3 weeks you realize that the old people are just getting slaughtered in every single challenge.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we just keep doing this, it's going to be young people who win everything all the time, always. And so they mix it up to try and save their gimmick, and then you've basically thrown the gimmick out the water. Which, I mean, blood versus water had its problems, but at least to kind of fix that, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least, like, you could maintain the gimmick longer. So if they do white collar versus blue collar, and white collar is, like, all people with desk jobs, and blue collar is all, like,
steel workers and newsboys.
Exactly. Then blue collar's gonna win.
Hawking their extra specials.
Then they're gonna win every single challenge from here to infinity, and it's only gonna take 3 or 4 weeks, and then they're gonna mix it all the fuck up. And it's like, you need to balance it. Like, find a blue collar guy who, like, does CrossFit on the weekends.
Go on.
Well, let me ask you a question. What the hell is no collar? Did they make this up? I've never heard of no collar.
They kind of did. Their definition of it was
like self-employed.
They're rebels, is basically.
Yeah. Well, like, okay, white collar in their view is anyone who works like an office job. Blue collar is anyone who works in a traditional like 9-to-5 manual labor kind of thing. Or, you know, does rodeo.
And then, so because all those blue-collar people make more money than I do, and I have a quote-unquote white-collar job.
Yeah, trust me. I'm blue-collar, and I do not make more than you. But then no-collar is, like, students or people who are self-employed, things like that, who have, quote, rejected society's definitions. It's like, I don't...
A.K.A. fucking hipsters.
Yeah, it's like, well, one of them is a law student. I don't think that's
rejecting. What I was going to say.
That's actually like the exact opposite of rejecting society's definitions of what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
No, but her example was she was going to be a law student so that she could like change how we fucking view the defendants and shit. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That's why I read her thing and I did not catch that part. I just saw a law student and I was like, okay, law student, whatever. Next part. I was kind of skimming. This gets into the next bit with our draft. When I was skimming their stuff, everyone had the most generic, boring responses to half the questions. It was like an OkCupid profile where you don't actually want to reveal anything for some reason. So they were saying, like, who's your, what would you bring on the island? And half the people were like, I would bring an iPod with all the fixins, and I would bring, what was the other one? A toothbrush. And then the next thing they were like, well, I don't want people to think I'm being too selfish, so I would bring a photo of my family to remind me of why I'm here. It's like no one thinks outside the box. They're like, I would bring a bed because screw sleeping on the ground.
I'd bring
3 days of food. And I don't know, like, I don't even know what a third thing to be.
You know what my answer would be to that question?
What? Don't say women.
No. It's on the same line, though. I was going to say a giant box of condoms. Not for myself. Not for myself, because I am married. But for everybody else on the island who is not, because all of those people would immediately be my best friend, because they would know as soon as they voted me out, the condoms are gone and they're not getting any.
Actually, I always wonder about that. When someone leaves, like, or when they get voted off, the stuff, does it stay there or what? Do they just,
I'm taking my condoms with me. Every time we go to tribal council, I'm just going to have that friggin' Trojan box just right there in my lap.
No, they bring their bag, you know, when they leave.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, but I wouldn't have it in my bag. I would keep all of my shit in my Trojan box. Just so everybody knows.
I feel like that would fall under product placement. So unless it's one of the registered trademark, or yeah, one of the registered.
I'll just get a big white box and write condoms all over it.
You are a classy gentleman. You didn't think like, oh, I'm going to bring food, and that way when I give one off, nobody gets any more beef jerky.
No, because you know people want more than beef jerky.
I don't know. Have you had really good beef jerky?
I have, in fact, have amazing.
It's also, I'm going to point out, you know, I mean, you can kind of do stuff without a condom.
Yeah, but then you're risking some stuff, especially, like, out there in the wild.
This is true. I would never, ever suggest to people to practice unsafe sex, but,
It's an option for you out there.
What do you mean, especially out there in the wild? They're not, like, fucking the animals, man.
That we know of, I mean.
No, but there's bacteria and shit out there that I don't know, man. I don't know how biology works.
Clearly, we don't know how biology works.
Okay, let's get into the meat of this episode. So, since there's been no episode this week, we're just going to do a Fantasy Survivor draft. And I got to tell you, Fantasy Survivor is something I've always wanted to do, but never had a group to do it with. And you kind of need a group, but fuck it, we're going to do it just the three of us. So the way this works is I rolled a D20 to figure out what order we're going to draft. And each of us is going to pick a different player, and we'll get points as that player does things in the show week to week. You get 1 point, example, for them being on a tribe that wins a reward challenge or an immunity challenge. You get 2 points when the tribes merge and they get an individual reward or an individual immunity challenge. You get 2 points every time they just survive. Like if they go to tribal council and survive, then you get 2 points for that. And when you go to tribal council after the merge and they survive, you get 3 points. And if your person on your team wins, you get 5 points. And we're also going to use these points to make like little board wagers and stuff during the show as we go on.
Because gambling is fantastic.
Yes, it is. We're going to gamble on all kinds of shit. Like, who do you think burned that guy's sock?
I think we're going to know that one, actually. But
yeah. But like, you know, like, how long is it going to take until they medevac? How long is it going to take until they merge tribes? Just
crap. How long
like
until that. They ditch the gimmick?
Yes, exactly. Crap like that. So let's get right into it. The first pick of round one goes to Nick. Who is right. Your first survivor, sir?
So I feel like I'm legally obligated to take Shireen Osk. Well, I'm not going to say her last name. That's a really difficult last name. She works for my ISP. So if I don't take her, I'm going to get disconnected. But also, I really liked her bio. She listed Larry David and RuPaul as her inspirations. So, I mean, how can you possibly go against that? Also, she was the one person to not answer the what three things would you take as generically as possible. Here, in order, and I'm not making this up, here are the things. Number one, a goat. She did not specify why, but I'm in love already. Number two, whiskey.
Yeah.
And, that's fantastic. And number three, she picked Beyonce. So, I think she and I can hang. So I'm going with Shireen.
Okay. Number two pick goes to Brian.
Man, you stole my number one pick.
Yeah! Sniped you! I took Adrian Peterson. I would also like to point out, Adrian's I did much more research kids? For this than I did for any of the 5 football drafts I was in this year. Which might be why I did not do very well. But sorry, go on. It's your pick, sir.
I was going to pick her because they all have this like little 1 minute video of they're talking about like why I'm the shit and I'm going to win. And hers was like, she's like, I'm not going to be like Dawn and cry all the time. All right, I think this is, I don't know why I'm picking him. This is a terrible pick. I'm going to pick Dan, Because he's a fat old white guy and he has no chance of winning whatsoever. And I like his big beard.
He was my number three, actually, because, and this is exactly what I have written down, postal worker in Maine, and possibly related to Dave Foley, but not. So I mean, naturally, you're a postal worker, that's bad enough, but you gotta walk around in Maine in the winter, that's tough.
Alright, you put it that way, then I picked him because he might be related to Mick Foley.
That works.
Ooh, that's a good one, actually.
All right, then, last pick of the round, therefore goes to me, and I'm going to pick So Kim.
Oh.
Because cute Asian girls go far in Survivor. And I didn't read her bio, I just saw her picture, and I was like, it's either her or the blonde beautiful one, so I'm going to hedge my bets and go for her first. All right. That wraps up round one. Nick picked Shirin, Brian picked Dan, and I picked So Kim. For round two, the order, RNG guys just happened to favor Brian. So Brian, after getting pick two last round, gets pick one this round.
Okay. All right. I'm going with an entertaining vote this time because Rodney is very clearly like the most stereotypical macho douchebag ever.
Yes.
Oh, total Boston.
He's going to be going so fast.
He's one of the ones, if you were in the room with him, you would want to stab him in the face, but he's going to be really entertaining to watch.
For, like, the first two weeks.
I hope so. I hope he is, but I have a feeling he's just going to say Boston 45 times every episode. So here's my thing about Boston, and this is a tangent, I don't care.
Fuck it.
Boston and Bostonians annoy the hell out of me because of how much they love Boston. How much they love Boston is as much as I love the Bay Area. And so when I think of them, I think, oh my god, these guys are gigantic douchebags. But
they're the people who go around saying, yay, area.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, as YOLO. Much as I think they're douchebags, they remind me that I am probably a douchebag for loving the Bay Area as much as I do. So since all shame is self, is shame with yourself, I don't like Boston because it reminds me of how terrible a human being I am.
See, this
so
is
this
thing.
Guy, this Rodney Lavoy Jr. guy, oh man, it's going to be
city,
a hot...
The city of Boston is a fantastic city. I love the city of Boston, and I like the people there so long as they don't talk about and or know about sports, and I wish the city of Boston had no sports at all.
My favorite cousin lives in Boston, and when I last went to Las Vegas, I met some really nice 60-year-old men at the hot tub from Boston, but I swear to God, the Bostonians I know, they love Boston so much, and they make me feel bad for liking the Bay Area. Okay, so
Nick, you're next.
I'm really glad I'm next because the person I'm taking is Sierra Dawn Thomas, the hot blonde woman that you were talking about, I'm not taking her for that reason. Because this is the internet. If you want beautiful people, you can see them anywhere you want. So I refuse to give in to the eye candy. The reason I'm taking her is because she is the most likely person to be a Mormon. And Mormons do exceptionally well on show.
That is true.
So there we go. Also, she is the aforementioned rodeo person. And honestly, as much as I was making fun of that, is that really blue collar? That's actually really pretty badass. So I'm taking Sierra.
Okay. I think Sierra's totally going to not be... she's going to be the opposite of Mormon. She's going to be pretty entitled. That's my gut feeling.
If I find out that there is a Mormon, I'm switching to them, especially if they're a gay Mormon, because that is the gold standard for this game. Todd and Rafe, those two did exceptionally well. Rafe, by the way, one of the brains behind Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so there you go.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So, okay, I've got the last pick of round two. Oh, part of me wants to pick Vince Sly, just because of his picture. He is a bender. He spends way too long. He looks like Captain America drawn by, what's that shitty artist name from the 90s? Who put pouches on everything?
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, he looks like Captain America drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Meets a pro wrestler.
And that's the name of a pro wrestler.
So I was going to pick him, but instead I think we're going to pick a Mike Holloway, an oil driller from Texas. Because he is not hideously ugly or douchebag looking, and You need a strong guy to carry your team, and I think you need only one, really. You really only need one strong guy, and he's the strongest looking guy on here, who also does not look douchey or like he has personality issues. So I'm going with Mike. Everybody else on here who looks mildly strong also looks like they have huge personality issues.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that's round two. Pick one of round two went to Brian. That was for Rodney. Nick picked Sierra, and I picked Mike. Round three, I get the first pick. Mwah! Back-to-back picks. Oh, this is tough, though, because, yeah, you sniped my pretty blonde girl. Motherfucker. Let me scroll through other pretty blonde... Who's this Will Sims guy? Oh, YouTube celebrity. No. Tyler, you look like a tool.
Tyler Max, is a tool.
We Max can talk Dawson about that looks like minute. A tool shed. I'm going to go with Lindsay Cascaden. Lindsay, the hairdresser.
Oh, good. You didn't take the one I wanted.
She was nice. She had a lot of exclamation points in her bio, and I liked that a lot.
My biggest fear is that she's going to be too peppy. And yeah. I hope that she's more of the sassy hairdresser. I'm angling for more of a Gail Simone.
Okay.
That's what I'm going for. Pick that's two good. Of round three goes to Brian, who didn't get a single third round pick this whole fucking time.
Yeah, I'm pretty badass, right?
I guess so, Brian.
All right, I'm going with Jen because she's also an attractive blonde, and because I said I didn't even see the other page you guys were looking at, and this one all I saw is like they all got like a 1 minute video, and hers is the only one that sounds like a normal person. Every other one is giving you that stupid bullshit, like oh, I'm going to come and do my best out here, and I'll be a better person if I win, and she's just like I'm going to win because this is going to be awesome.
That's cool. I she was fairly high on my list. I liked her because she's a hockey fan.
Yeah,
although she's from Southern California, so she's probably a fan of the wrong team. But
oh god, no!
We'll take that. It's fine. It's fine.
It's okay.
You know what? All they've right. won. They've won Stanley Cups. We haven't. People can be fans of champions.
Nick,
all right.
The last pick of the draft.
So this is kind of tough because you guys took all the good ones, and now I've got not a whole lot left. Actually, so you mentioned Will. He's at the bottom of my list explicitly for the reason that he's a YouTube sensation. I kind of want to take him because he's the only black guy on the island, and that makes me a little sad. You think white guilt might carry him? Yeah. Tyler Fredrickson, let's talk about him real fast just because I hate him.
He looks like a fucking tool.
He says he's a professional football player, but he's a punter, so that's the first strike against him. Also, really all the professional teams player. He's been on, were he was cut before the preseason ended, and so he ended up playing arena football and managed to make only 46 out of 52 point after attempts. So
it's even easier in arena football. You're
that's
terrible.
Exactly. That's the sign of a person who's not very good at his job. So sorry, Tyler, you're not a professional athlete. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Nina was high on my list. I like Nina.
Nina Persh, I like her, but I've got two women already, and I don't want people thinking I'm just I want
picking the ladies.
People. I do like the fact that she was originally deaf and has overcome that. That is a pretty good one. Let's see,
Haley?
Kelly Remington, she's the cop. I kind of want to go with her because her answers were like five words, and that was it. She's like, I don't care.
I'm a cop. I'm gonna
go with someone. So here's someone I actually had him rated at the bottom of my list. I kind of hate him, and I will probably change very fast, but I'm going to go with Dr. Max Dawson, PhD.
He is the guy. I was so hoping you're going to pick Joaquin.
No, oh god, I hate Joaquin. He listed Derek Jeter as one of his idols. If this guy comes on the island, doesn't have a gift basket for every person that he votes off, I don't want to be him. But Dr. Max Dawson, who's... I'm going to call him that the entire time around. Looks like a total hipster with that super, super big beard. He even listed kale and beard wax as things that he would bring with him.
Fucking hipster.
I honestly hate everything about him, but he has one saving grace. He is one of God's chosen people, and I will always side with my Jewish brother. Even though I myself am not Jewish, I have a proclivity towards them. So I'm picking...
So you want me to win, is what you're telling me?
Pretty much. You know what? Yeah.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
I will I will throw this game for you.
So then you would have picked Joaquin. I almost picked Joaquin, but I have a feeling he's going to be voted out like week one.
Oh, yeah. No.
Here's, like, inspiration in life. I'm reading from this. Like, inspiration in life. Derek Jeter for his dedication, finesse, and choice in women, of course.
Yeah.
What a fucking tool.
A little bit further down. Why do you, or what survivor are you most like? No one. No one has ever played the game the way I have. It's like, we're 50 seasons in, we're at least 300 people in.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Someone has been an asshole on this game before, just like you.
Yeah, somebody has been an entitled fool.
I feel kind of bad.
Thank you for adding PhD to the notes.
No. Dr. Max Dawson, PhD. This is his full name, just like Special Agent Brett Dalton.
Okay. So I'm going to go down. Nick, your team is Sheeran, Sierra, and Dr. Max Dawson, PhD.
Thank you.
Brian, your team is Dan, Rodney, and Jen. And my team is So, Mike, and Lindsay. It was really tough for me not to pick just three women. I had to, like, go outside my comfort zone to get Mike. But those are not the teams that we are locked in for from now to eternity. So the way this works, this will be our teams for week one, episode one. After episode one, either one of you two can message me and tell me that you want to drop a player and add a player. All right, but you can only do one per week. So if you say, you know what, after episode one, Dr. Max Dawson, no way in hell is Dr. Max Dawson PhD, making it more than another week. I'm going to drop Dr. Max Dawson PhD, and I'm going to pick up Joaquin, because that guy is smooth like butter. If you want to do that, you just message me and let me know, and then that person will be on your roster for the next week.
Let me tell you what will never, ever happen. I believe. I now believe in Dr. Max Dawson PhD and his hipster beard, because that is the only man on the island who has gone through a bar mitzvah. Haruka Tab.
And then, also, if you have a player who leaves the game, either through medevac or through being voted out, then you can pick a replacement, which is fine, because at that point you've already lost out on survival points, and you've lost out on other points for the week as well. If your player gets voted out, medevac, this is not gonna. If your player gets voted out, you lose all points from that player for the week. So if your player wins a reward challenge, but then gets voted out, you lose those reward challenge points. So you do lose something for getting a free ad, but it's a free ad, and you got to take it when you can. All right. You guys cool on this fantasy format?
Yeah, I know about two-thirds of the rules. That's fine.
Okay.
I got my winners.
If you've forgotten the rules, if any of the listeners have forgot the rules, just go to outwitoutplayoutcast.com. On the top, there's a bar that says Home, Contact, and Fantasy. Click on Fantasy. It will not only have the rules, but it will have our week-to-week scoring updated there for all of you to see. So this wraps up episode one of Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, and I really want to get like oooshow.net or .com to shorten this, because that's a long URL and it's really long to say, and I want to kind of start calling us the Ooh Show. Ooh.
We're very spooky.
Ooh. Maybe just Outcast. Maybe we could just do Outcast Show. We might get sued. We won't do with
that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would feel like someone out there is named Outcast. And I'm not talking about Andre 3000. I mean, there's gotta be like 8,000 outcasts.
Yep. That many outcasts. 8,000. Anyway.
Well, there's Andre 3000. That's 3,000 of your outcasts right there.
I guess so. You have an outcast 8,000. Okay, that's it for this week of the show. We're going to start coming on. We're going to try and come on Thursdays. We want to come on the day after the show airs, but that may not be possible. My television connection is a little bit wonky. I'm going to be watching it on CBS.com, and we might have to come out on Fridays. We're still not sure, but at the very least, we won't be more than 2 days after the show airs. So, that's it for this week. Next week, check back again on Friday or Saturday. Probably Friday, though. And give us a listen and figure out what we thought about episode 1 of season 30. All right, everybody. Until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Peace out.